Amen. You can take your Bible, turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. A blessing to be back in the house of the Lord today. This morning I preached on four Bible truths. I'm going to preach tonight on four fabulous facts out of the Bible. And there's really a lot more than that, but you know, 4:13. I mean Hebrews 13. Sorry, Hebrews 13, verse number 5 and 6. Would you stand? Honor the Word of God. He's given final consolation to these scattered saints. And I believe it's Paul doing the saying here, but Paul is, he's closing out the book and he's giving final direction. He says in verse 5, let your conversation, that's not your talk, but that's your lifestyle. Let your living, your lifestyle, be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he has said. That makes it pretty important for us to take note of it. He himself has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. Brother Jeffrey, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, what a blessing it is to know that you're with us all the way. I thank you, Lord, for that. And I thank you for this time that we have together. I pray, Lord, that you would just anoint Pastor Wayne, help him as he delivers his word, and that you be working in our hearts. You help us to hear you and to obey you tonight in Jesus'
name. Amen. You can be seated. He says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content. So I want to say, first of all, I've got 4 points to make, and I got a couple of them off of a page of a book and got me digging in this passage. And the preacher who wrote the book said that if we could get a hold of these two verses, we could live our lives without fear. Do y'all believe that? Well, I just want to try to put these truths in order as we go through here. First of all, the contentment of his provision. I don't know where I came up with it, but somewhere I have heard that contentment is not getting what you want, but it's wanting what you already have. Think about that a minute. Most of us have more than the whole world has ever thought about up to this time, and only in America do we have it. I saw a picture this week somewhere, maybe on Facebook or something, of a covered wagon, and the fellow was rebuking us for complaining about no internet and all kinds of our little whines. And he pointed back to that day. My grandmother talked about a day when they came out of Iowa down to the Indian Nation in a covered wagon pulled by oxen, landed in a dugout with a dirt floor, and she was still cooking on a wood stove and a kerosene stove when I came along. There was no power, no lights, no refrigeration, none of that out there. She had lived with that all of her life. And she thought it was a big deal when they got to go to the wash interior to wash clothes, you know. That was pretty. So, hey, none of them had air conditioning. And so, I hear the complaint now about $200,000 or something being applied to air conditioners to put in the windows for people. I remember coming to Fort Worth when we all fought over the screened-in porch, see who gets to sleep on the screened-in porch so you could cool off and go to sleep. Anyway, are you content tonight? In the Lord, are you content? See, if you know Jesus Christ, you have contentment. If you've got clothes on your back, a house and a bed, well, you're rich if you got Jesus. I would say there's no contentment outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to say it several times, so get ready for it. Here's why we're not content. We think our needs are the needs of those we love is somehow going to not be met. Somebody's going to take it away from us, or we're going to lose it or something. And this would be a good place to do this. I've been trying to come up with it in my own mind. What is the greatest need for our contentment right now, right here, right now? What's your greatest need? Well, whatever you name outside of the Lord Jesus Christ will never give you contentment outside of Him. Only Jesus can meet the deep need of your soul. Only Jesus can meet the need of your heart. Only Jesus can bring that place of contentment. I was thinking about this today. It's so easy. I mean, so easy to get crossways and frustrated and empty-hearted and burned out on serving the Lord. But you know, one of the greatest things you can do is when that time comes is get on your knees, get back in your book, find the Word of God, and read 13, 5, and 6. Find you a verse that you can claim. This whole message came out of that moment in my own heart. I believe we need a place of peace. For years I've carried, I'll tell you about that later. You'll never be content outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be saved and not be content. If you're saved and not living for the Lord, you're the most miserable person on the face of the earth. I mean, it doesn't get better, it gets worse. The more you try to do for yourself outside of Christ, when you know He is your Savior, the more you'll hate yourself. He's called you. He has birthed you. And He's in you. And He's drawing you. We didn't get saved for our glory. We got saved for God's glory. And He wants to use it. So the deep need of your heart only met in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, not just the contentment. I'm coming down. I'm hurrying through these. He said, I'll never leave thee, or forsake thee. There is the companionship of His presence. It's amazing to me that our careless life we live, our self-centered life as Christians, think about us. We're saved. It took every bit of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to get us saved. It took God's only Son to get us saved. It took Wednesday night we got over there in the book of Luke and looked at some of the persecution and the heartaches and the suffering that He went through just so we could be saved. And we come in here and, you know, they always, these guys in the foyer always give me trouble. But I said this morning it was going to be short. And what? And somebody said, what do you mean by short? Somebody said, well, he meant 40 minutes instead of 45 minutes. They might, don't hope for that now. It might not be that. It'll be whatever the Lord wants. But I'll try to hurry. But think about this. What's the hurry? We're here with Him. He promised where two or three are gathered, I'll be with you. What's the hurry? What do you got at home that's better than being with Him and with His people? Only Jesus can bring that contentment. And we rush into His presence, we rush out of His presence, and some of us will leave our Bible laying in the car till Wednesday night. And we spend very little time with Him. We live our lives for us. He saved us. We bought us. We are His. So, and even when we fail, even when that cancer word is used or some other dirty word, we turn and call on Him. Jan sent a message last night, Dr. Birdwell is struggling for life. He's 96 years old. I went and visited him a couple of weeks ago. What a man of God he is. I wish I had a doctor that had that kind of a outlook on life for me. But he's struggling right now. And she was wanting me to check on him. Well, all I can do is call. And I call and left a message and I haven't heard back. So I don't know if they would even recognize who I am. Anybody but Jan. But you know what? From our conversation, our 2-hour conversation a couple of Saturdays ago, that old man knows Jesus. And he's not alone where he is. And he has peace where he is. He understands what it is. Hey, if the doctors fail, Jesus won't fail. If his family fails, Jesus won't fail. If there's nobody that cares, Jesus cares. You understand it? You may not appreciate it right now, but there's somewhere in your life you're going to want that. You're going to want Him to be there. You're going to want Him to care. So, it's a blessing, isn't it? Hey, look around us. This whole world could blow up before morning. Europe's already in an uproar. Now it looks like the Far East is building something, I don't know what. And it could all go. And if you're depending on Biden, you're in trouble, I'll tell you that. But we don't have to depend on Biden. And we don't have to depend on, if it all blows up before morning, what's the worst thing that can happen? We'll be walking on a golden street. What a day that'll be. I mean, that's where we're headed. He is our companion. So, and then, here's where I'm really aiming at. Our contentment in His provision, our companionship in His presence. I would say, He has said, the Son of God has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I know I've told this story. Anybody remember the story on David Livingstone? David Livingstone in the deep heart of Africa hadn't been seen in 2 months. Stanley went to look for, hadn't been seen in 6 months, I guess. And Stanley went to look, the reporter went to look for him and found him. He was starving to death. His teeth had already fallen out. He was just skin and bones. And he got his logbook and handed it to Stanley and said, would you take this back to my family? Make sure it gets back to England and publish this. You know, I may never get to go home. Stanley read a few pages of it and he said, Dr. Livingstone, come go with me. He said, I'll get this published. You'll be the toast of the nation of England. You'll never want for a place to preach. You'll always be in demand the rest of your life. Dr. Livingstone says, Stanley, I can't do that. God called me here. God called me to serve here. And I've got to be here. But Dr. Livingstone, you're going to die out here. There's not another civilized person in 1,000 miles of you. You've been out here all these months. All that's around is these barriers. And you're all alone. Oh no, Stanley, I'm not alone. He has said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And Stanley, this is what Dr. Livingstone said. Stanley, it's the word of a perfect gentleman. And God won't break His word. Stanley went back. A week later, he didn't come out of his tent for 2 or 3 days, and finally the bearers went into the tent. He was kneeled down by the cot, had his Bible open. He was praying and went home to be with the Lord. They took his heart out and buried it. Somebody's written that song now, said, bury my heart on the mission field, Lord. Please bury my heart. They buried his heart. Those bearers salted him and preserved him and wrapped him and carried him 1,000 miles to the port. They shipped him back to England. He's buried in Buckingham Palace. If I ever get to England, I want to go see that. See, he had confidence in the person who said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Most of us don't have much confidence because we've never tried him. But he promises. He has said. He himself has said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. You ought to get that down in your mind. It's the word of a perfect gentleman, and God won't go back on His word. So, when you fail, He'll be there. When you're struggling, He'll be there. You say, Brother Wayne, how are you so confident? Well, I want to show you the confidence of His promise. See, the promise is only as good as the person who makes it. I mean, you go to one of these used car lots, they'll promise you anything. But whether or not they'll keep their word is another thing. Some of you have experienced that from friends right here in this church who promised and didn't deliver. But when God promises, it's different. So, who is it that said, I'll never leave you or forsake you? Well, I want to answer that question. I said this morning I had a short message. This made it a little longer when I began to answer. If you take your Bible and go over to Psalm 139, what a chapter this is. Psalm 139 is going to identify him who said, I'll never leave you or forsake. He has said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Who says that? I want to say it is the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God of very gods himself that said it. So, when you say, God, I just don't have the strength, who says I'll never leave you or forsake you? I want to say it'll be this omnipotent God who answers. You can look down to verse 13, 139. Here's the omnipotence of God. For thou hast possessed my reins, and thou hast covered me from my mother's womb. I'll praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously thought in the lower part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which are in continuance, were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious, you ought to mark this, I got it marked in red. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. And when I'm awake, I'm still with thee. Whether I'm a unnumbered baby and just in the imagination of a mother's heart, or if I'm an old man fixing to leave here, I'm still with thee. You are the omnipotent God who's able to deliver me. Secondly, when you say, God, I'm afraid of what's going to happen, who answers and says, I'll never leave you or forsake you? I want to say, go down to verse number 7. No. Go down to, verse number 7. Here's the omnipresent God. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and... Do you see verse 8? It's either heaven or hell. But death cannot hide me from God. God's God when I'm alive. God's God when I'm dead. God's still my God. Great promise in 8. 9. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Those boys on deployment, they can depend on God. If they know Jesus as their Savior, He's going to be there when they get there. And if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be a light about me. You're saved. You know Jesus. Can I say this? You can't go to a dark enough hole to hide from God. You can't go to a wicked enough place to hide from God. He's going to be there when you get there. He won't leave you alone. If you're His, He's going to be with you and bring you back. Don't go there. That's what that verse says. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. He's the omnipresent God. You can run, but you can't hide from Him. So if you say, God, I don't know what to do. Now then, the omniscient, all-knowing God answers. Verse 1, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. You ought to underline that verse. He knows all about you. He knows every beat of your heart. He knows every thought that crosses your mind. He has searched you and He knows you. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. What he said is my walk. You understand all about my walk. You understand where I've got to go with the job I've got to do, the temptations I'll face. You understand everything about me. You know me. You know where my weak point is. You know where my strong point is. You know how to hold my hand. You know me. Verse number 4. And there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Uh-oh. Was there a word on your tongue this week that He didn't need to hear? He already knew it before you said it. He knew what you were going to say. He knows your conversation. He knows. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge. See, He maneuvers. I heard Brother Larry Atkinson give this testimony years ago. He talked about that he was 19 or 20 years old, and he and his cousin were planning on coming to, they lived up somewhere in the edge of Oklahoma, Duncan, Oklahoma. They were planning on coming down into Texas, and they were going to go party and just have a big time and just let their hair down. And they'd heard all about the Fort Worth Stockyards, and they were coming down to just really do it upright. And he said, everything we intended to do, we'd kind of mapped it out. But they had a car wreck somewhere up around Gainesville. And old Larry limped a little bit for a while, but he never did go party. And he said, you know, Brother Wayne, God shut it down before we ever got there. He can shut it down on you. You think you're going to do something. You think you're going to be something. You think you can get away with something. He can outmaneuver you. We used to call it a rolling body block. If you could get one of them on a guy, you could bring the biggest one of them down. You know what it was, Bob? I mean, you run up. If you can hit him on his blind side, he's going down. God can put a rolling body block on you. God can fix you. He's wanting you to get in His will. He's wanting you to get in His will. You're wanting my will, my will. He can outmaneuver you. You're His. He is the omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God, He says. He said, when you don't know what to do, He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, verse 6. It's high, and I cannot attain unto it. The omniscient, all-knowing God. So look at hold on to this passage right here. Let's go back over to Hebrews just a minute. Hebrews chapter number 13, verse 5 says, He has said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do to me. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know where you are in your life. But here's what I do know from the Word of God. There's no one here that can, if you're saved, there's no one here that cannot say this. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do to me. Isn't that a wonderful place to be? Nobody. I mean, there's nothing. There's no medical. There's no double cross of friends. There's nothing that. No, I will not fear what man can do because he's my helper. Now I want to show you one more thing out of Psalm 139. He says in 17, How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more than number in the sand. And when I awake, I'm still with thee. So what are we going to do about it? I've got 3 points here, beginning in verse 19. First of all, you remember when Peter was walking on water toward Jesus and the storm was blowing and he began to sink? You remember what he said? He didn't pray a long, lengthy. I've got a series on the prayers of Peter, and I've been intending to preach some of them, but He didn't put one of them, now I lay me down to sleep. He didn't begin to say all the big exotic King James words, quote a verse or two before he ever got into the, what'd he say? Lord, save me. The psalmist said, you know more, you can do more, you can be more than I can ever know. Lord, save me. That's what he said. Thou shalt slay the wicked. O God, depart from me therefore. Thou shalt slay the wicked, O God. Here's what I put a note on my Bible. My sins. My temptations, my sins. That's the wicked. He said, you can slay the wicked. You can destroy all those things that separate between me and you. Oh God, depart, slay the wicked. Depart, therefore, ye bloody men, my sins. That's called repentance. When we turn from our sins to God, you realize it, He already knows your sins. He knows more about your sins than you know. And John sung that song this morning. Sin will cost you. Sin will take you further than you wanted to go. Sin will keep you longer than you wanted to stay. And sin will cost you very much more than you ever thought you'd have to pay. We could go around this town tonight and find some folks could give you a testimony of the cost of sin. There's probably somebody in this congregation could say something about the cost of sin. It cost you. He said, but you can slay the wicked. You can chase the bloody men away from me. For they speak unto thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. So the first step is, save me. And then the second step is, separate me. Get me away. Take the enemy away. That enemy that takes your name in vain, get it away from me, Lord. Get me out of from that crowd. Give me back over here to the people of God and the things of God, to the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent Savior. Verse 23. He said, of these wicked ones, I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them as my enemies. Let me ask you a question. When they give you that enticing video on your phone or your computer or your TV, or the commercial comes on, I've never figured out why it takes women jumping around on couches to sell furniture. Y'all wonder about that a little bit? I mean, men sit on furniture too, but we don't ever see that, do we? I'll tell you why. It's an insinuated lust. They want you to lust a little bit. That's the wicked. They're throwing their things up in the face of God, and they want you to join in just a little. It's an enticement to your flesh nature. He said, I hate those wicked men. Separate me from those wicked ones. And then he said, search me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. I can't keep myself from being a man of flesh. I can't keep myself from this wicked one. But I hate it, Lord. I hate it when I overrule that spirit who is in me. Lord, search me and cleanse me and separate me from those things that keep me from being all you want me to be. And I want you with me at all times, Lord. I don't want to leave you. Save me. Separate me. Search me. And then he said, show me. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And if you find it, Lord, just lead me in the way everlasting. Give me a goal in my heart and in my life. I would say that in this congregation, this is the cream of the crop, Metropolitan Baptist Church, but in this congregation, there's a lack of a real goal for God in your lives. And if we would get in our prayer closet, and just say, save me, separate me, search me, and then send me, show me, give me a goal. Help me to know what I need to do to serve you, Lord. Help me to know how I need to live to have your presence dominant in my life, Lord. You understand it? Here's what I wrote down on my clothes here. When you find your contentment, companionship, and confidence in Jesus, then you'll find your comfort and your courage to live for Him. until you turn your heart from the world to Him, it's going to be a battle going on every day. Up one day, down one day. Away from Him one day, close one. But when you turn, He said, He has said, He Himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. When you turn to Him, I heard that story. I preached with a fellow from North Carolina. He was a singer. I was preaching and he was singing. We got to talking about our dads. About the age I am now, my dad went into Alzheimer's and had 4 or 5 years of pure torture in the Alzheimer's world. And he talked about his dad did not have Alzheimer's, but he had dementia. And he got fearful. He said, Brother, why don't you be afraid of the dark? And he had written a song. And the title of the song was, Are You There, Son? He said, I wrote it for my dad. Said he's laying there. Said we sleep cot to cot. I'm on one cot. He's on one little bunk bed. And he's on the other one. And he said, he'll wake up and I'll hear him say, Are you there, son? And he said, I'd just reach over and touch him and I'd say, Here I am, Dad. He'd roll over and go back to sleep. If you hadn't been there, you don't understand it. But if you've been there, you understand what's going on. It's that insecurity of not being able to think and do for yourself as you once did. Somewhere, sometime, you'll wake up in the dark. And you've been running your race your way and playing your games your way. And all of a sudden, it dawns on you. And it's time to say, Are you there, Lord? I would say every one of us need that every day. Are you there today, Lord? Hey, there was tears on these altars this morning. I believe God was in this place this morning. Don't leave Him here. Take Him with you where you go. He has said, I won't leave you. Don't leave Him out of your life. There's a day somewhere, sometime, in our storm, when we're going to need to be able to boldly say, I can trust Him, and He'll take care of me. I don't know where you are today. Maybe it's today. If it's not today, it'll be tomorrow, but somewhere you're going to need Him. The recipe is Psalm 139, but the statement's over in Hebrews 13, the promise. And you can boldly say, He's able to take care of everything for me. I don't have to depend on what I can do. I can depend on what He'll do. So I don't know where we're at, and I'm just thankful that He showed me these scriptures. Some of them are so fresh, they're still got the ink on my hands. They're not new scriptures, but they're new in my heart. And I don't want to lose this idea. He has said, I'll be with you. So now I can boldly say, I'm His. He's mine. He knows. He cares. And He'll do what's needed for me. Let's stand. Father, I pray You've had Your way here tonight. And I ask You, Lord, that You'd just take charge of us. Lord, I pray You'd help us to seek Your face and look for Your companionship day by day and know that You care about us. Lord, that verse said, search me, O Lord. Know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. Cleanse me, wash me, fill me, use me for Your glory. Lord, I thank you for Your presence in our lives. Thank You that You saved us back there. But thank You for keeping us over here. And Lord, we just give You ourselves again, fresh and new. And I ask You that You'd work in each heart here tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God spoke to you. You need to get in the altar. Why don't you do it right now? God dealing with you. Why don't you get it right with Him? Get Him near. Maybe you just need to say, search me. Or maybe you need to say, save me. Or maybe you need to say, send me. I don't know what. But would you do business with God right now? Let Him have His way with you.
Number 160.
Thank you.
nor forsake you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I didn't have that message yesterday morning. The Lord just poured it through me. I'm still thrilled and awed by what He does. Thank God for being God. Thank Jesus for being present. Thank God that He calls us His children. Brother?
Mr. The Course 506, this is my story. This is my story. This is my story.